Hey, Posty, how's it going, bro?
Wonderful so far. I can't really complain.
Welcome to Discussions with Dre. This is episode four. It's my first interview. I'm honored to have you.
Dude, I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much.
I'm fucking excited, man.
Me too.
So, how do you feel about the album?
You're talking about Simp, right? My first album.
Yeah, I'm talking about that one you released a long time ago. That one that.
Pretty Boy, it's damn, like the reception has been a whole lot better than I expected, 'cause I was like everything I did before this, like you remember like what my sound was for that shit, right?
Oh yeah, man, I've known you for how long now?
About the better half of a decade, probably like 6 years or something like that.
That long?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Shit.
We were DMing back in like 2014, 2015.
That's so fucked up.
I know, right? God, I
Anyways,
feel old.
continue, bro. Continue.
But yeah, like everything that I've done before this was like a totally different sound than what Pretty Boy was, because Pretty Boy, I wanted to be like almost like a starter pack, you feel me? Like I want it to be like a showing of like everything that I can do,
Like an in,
because
like an introduction, essentially, right?
just to like give people like a sense of what it is that I can actually do. Like there's I used to just I was really big into that like that industrial sounding like angry hip hop. Like that's basically all of what Ugly Boy was.
Ugly
But
Boy was a lot of that.
yes, exactly.
And it was
Yeah,
hard as
it was
fuck.
thank you. I appreciate that.
No
It was
problem.
like that was that album I was proud of and I was very happy with. But I knew that I wanted to like expand my horizons a little bit, and I knew that I could. So once 2020 hit, I decided, you know what? Fuck it. Pretty Boy is going to be whatever the hell I want it to be. And what it ended up being was the first half of it is like classic Posty. You know, like it's like the if like if you listen through like the first half of that, it's like really hard hitting, like brazy ass shit, like me
Yeah.
yelling over shit.
It felt like it was, yeah, it was like, but a new old postie at the same time. You know what I mean? It had like
Yeah,
a,
just a bit more polished. Yeah, it's like for the first half of that, I wanted it to be kind of like, you know, me going back to my roots, and then there's the interlude, and then after the interlude, there's all the singles, and then Be Careful, and then the outro, which are totally out of my wheelhouse, like shit that I've never done before.
And it turned out fucking you, I told you about this last like 3 days. Those are my favorite songs. Be Careful, the outro, and obviously fuck, No Vest.
No, dude, No Vest felt so good to make. Like it's like it had been so long since I just yelled over a distorted ass beat. It was beautiful.
Hear me out. Does it give you like metal feels? Like
Oh,
the
100%.
baseline? The baseline's so angry and so like punch you in your fucking face.
That was because that was produced by my homie out in Medicine Hat, who I met on tour last year
Oh,
around,
dope.
around this time actually. I went on tour in August of 2019. And Rare Ben is Zanny's brother, and Zanny was who I went on tour with.
His name's Rare Band.
Yes.
Okay, well I'm gonna have to hit him up because he's
No,
crazy.
yeah, they, but if you hit the if you hit them up, like use they pronouns because they have since like transitioned.
Okay.
So just to like be
Yeah, no worries.
respectful.
Thanks for letting me know. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
But at the
no problem.
time, we were all just hanging out, and like they had a show with their band Raising the Ruins, which is fantastic, and they also sent me a beat. They sent me the beat for Rare Vet for No Vest. And I knew for a fact I had to go back to my roots for that shit.
Oh
Because
my God, yeah.
they have their
Shit.
roots in hardcore, much like me. So it's we knew that when we were gonna collaborate on a track, we needed to go back to our hardcore grindcore metal roots. Like bring back our old sensibilities.
Can I like just like so musically, what is the first shit you ever like really got attached to? Was it more so that type of music or?
Like attached to? How do you mean?
Like you know when
Like
you first when
throughout
you
my whole life?
oh yeah you know let's go your whole life. What's the first music you're like, wow, like this is amazing, I love this, this is like my soundtrack?
Oh, dude, the first music I ever really gravitated to was when I was in middle school. I really loved classic rock. I listened
Yeah,
to a lot of Led Zeppelin.
Zeppelin baby.
I still stand the Beatles. I love the Beatles.
I never, you know what, it's fucked up. I never gone to the Beatles. I never, ever gone. I know. Don't hate.
No.
This, I felt like I just disappointed you, bro.
No, dude, I'm not disappointed. It's just that.
Yeah, it's so important.
Like I very much prefer the latter half of their catalog, as opposed to like the former, because like their first like 5 years being a band, they were like a pop act. Like they were like the One Direction of their,
you're right.
Yeah. They were the One Direction of their era. And then they quit touring and then they started doing acid a whole shit ton.
And it was probably great.
So they made like some amazing experimental rock albums. The White Album is still one of my favorite albums of all time. I remember when I was on a, I was on a vacation with my parents back when I was about 14 or 15. All I listened to throughout the whole trip was just every Beatles album after 1966, because they were active from 1962 to 1970. And the 1966 era onward is when they got really experimental, because they stopped touring. So they were able to like make stuff that was weird as fuck and they wouldn't be able to recreate live.
Yeah, so they weren't like catering to anything but just like what was going on in the studio.
No, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah.
That's super
cool.
You
got me on a diatribe about the Beatles. No, I like they're like for like people who are like really, really like music nerd type shit, like a lot of the time they will dismiss the Beatles and say that they're overrated. I don't think so.
I respect your opinion on that for sure.
What? Sorry?
I totally like coming from you, I totally have to like go back and respect that.
A lot of the, like the stuff before 1965 is there's some catchy stuff, but it's pop music.
Yeah.
But like anything from Rubber Soul onward is really, really worth listening.
So Rubber Soul is an album.
Yeah, Rubber Soul was their first album where they started getting weird. Like when,
dude, that sounds like a fucking sick album name.
Yeah, yeah, they because it's spelt like Rubber Soul, like S-O-U-L, but of course they're referencing like the sole of a shoe.
Yeah, you know what, man? Like, I'm just, you know what, Posty? I've always been a hater since I was a kid, I guess, because I just saw everyone liking the Beatles, and I was like, fuck that shit.
I've always been a hater.
Like that, yeah. Man, fuck! I'm sorry about that. I'm gonna do some research and I'll get back to you and I'll talk to you about it.
No, I'm interested to see what you think, because anytime that I introduce like a first time listener to it, they're like, I didn't know the Beatles did this type of shit, man. Holy fuck!
Yeah,
there's some weird shit, man. Like on the White Album, there's a song called Revolution 9, which is 9 minutes long, and it's just beautiful. Like 9 minutes of like backwards vocals and like random sounds from like,
bro, that would trip me from, like, the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you listen to it when you're baked, you will probably have a panic attack.
Okay, good. Thank you, because I. Yeah.
There's one thing I love doing is getting Dre panic attacks.
Oh, I get too many of them anyways, man. I fuck that.
Exactly, yeah. I just want to add one more. If it's music-based, it means something. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you want to add one more? Oh, I had panic attacks. Sorry, I thought it was one more album. I'm like, okay.
Like I said, anything past like 1966, but they were the Beatles were the first band that I really, really gravitated toward and that I stand.
Yeah.
And I remember around grade 8 or 9, I started getting into rap, and I was that guy. I was very much that guy, like the one who only listened to like,
bro, I only listened to lyrical hip hop. I only listened to that. I think we all started that way.
Seriously. Yeah.
Cause like sorry, man. I feel like we all like go through that stage where it's like fucking lyrical. And then we kind of like get more into the ignorant shit. And then we kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. It all balances out in the end. But anyways, keep going. Sorry, I apologize.
Yeah, there was a time in you know, about grade 8, grade 9, I was super huge into Immortal Technique and fucking early Eminem, Tone Deaf. Okay. I was never into Logic. Like, I know that Logic like fits into that crowd, but I was never
Logic?
Impressed by him. Yeah, I was never like, because around the time that I was listening to like that spiritual lyrical miracle bullshit, he was dropping like the Young Sinatra tapes or whatever.
Bro, I think Logic's awful. I'm sorry. I think
you're in good company, don't you worry. A lot of people feel the same. I feel like he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm just not into that, like, in a bag with a Mac and a K, with a Mac and a flag.
But he's not saying anything.
It's just lyrical gymnastics.
But do you know what? Do you know what, man? Oh, you know what? I feel for him because I do just lyrical gymnastics. I don't really say it too much sometimes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm just trying to rhyme really well too.
Yeah.
I get it. It's just the way he rhymes.
You got like a different feel to you though. Like your production is A1, and you've got like good punchlines and stuff. That's you a different breed.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. But that was like that. That was the time that I really got into rap. The time when I actually felt like I wanted to do it was around 2014. I was in I think grade 11, grade 10 or something, and I started getting into everybody on Stone's Throw Records, like Madlib and MF Doom.
Yes.
And and like Peanut Butter Wolf and all those dudes, like people who are making these weird ass experimental beats and rapping over it like fucking aliens from another planet. You know, it's like the first time I listened to Mad Villainy, I wish that I had that feeling listening to any other album ever.
It's one of the best albums I've ever heard.
No, see, yeah, me too.
Like, absolutely. It is. It's like, incredible.
I remember the first time I heard Meat Grinder. It's like it opened up like a whole new like horizon for me. It was crazy.
Doom could rhyme every word in every single bar he rhymes. Like it doesn't make any sense to me. Like how he fucking does what he does.
Seriously, like how does he like string all this shit together? But that was when, like, hearing that and like list, like hearing the process of it, where it was like, you know, Doom would, you know, he would take beats that Madlib sent him, he would rap over them, and then he would leave the tapes on like a desk somewhere for Madlib to listen to.
Yeah.
And like all they did the whole time while they were in the studio was shrooms. Like they didn't even talk to each other.
It's a spiritual thing. It was weird. It's like,
seriously. And it's like, and they created like this masterpiece. Like that was when I first realized it's like, okay, I want to do this, because there's a market for lo-fi hip hop. There's a market for hip hop that is outside of the norm, that isn't A, pop rap, or B, like spiritual lyrical miracle bullshit. There's a market for rap that is experimental and psychedelic.
Of course, man. And it's cult, and they always stick around.
Yeah, exactly.
Those
fans
always stick
around. And that's when I really, really got into it. And around like 2015 or so, is when I first started putting out tracks, and nobody knew until around 2018 when I started doing shows. I did my first show in April of 2018, and before that, none of my friends knew about my raps.
Really, eh?
No, yeah, none of them. It was something that I was low-key kind of ashamed of.
You were ashamed? You were like nervous? It gave you like anxiety? Like what was the feeling?
Think I was good enough.
Yeah, you know what?
Because for because like at the time I was listening to a lot of Captain Murphy too.
Yes, man. Yes.
Yeah, so
I'm loving these references.
For like my first couple of songs and EPs and stuff, because I put out two albums under post-war in like 2015, 2016, but it was all self-produced and it was all with my vocals pitched down about.
Was that Ready? Ready was on that, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, fuck me. That's a deep cut.
Yeah. Well, no, because no. Me and you have been talking for a long time, so you sent me a lot of this shit, and a lot of
yes.
There was some grungy shit on there, like grungy rock type shit on there too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember listening to that and be like, this guy's on something different I've never heard before.
No, yeah, Ready, absolutely was. That was a song
it was sick.
That era where I had this cringy ass aesthetic too. Like I ordered a fucking pink ski mask off of
remember
Amazon.
That. I remember that. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I showed everyone in the studio Ready when we were back then. Anyway, we were like Benny and Aiden 120 and all. I was like, yo, my buddy, like, go, yeah.
Damn, nice.
I liked Ready a lot, actually.
I mean, like listening to it again, like that shit's real catchy. The main. That shit's produced by me, but the main melody, like the that's an Aphex Twin sample from Selected Ambient Works Volume 1, which is one of my favorite electronic albums.
Pulling out the fucking stops here.
Yeah.
You have the knowledge, man.
I was really fucking with that beat. I actually remade it a couple years ago just to see if I could still figure it out, and I was very satisfied. But I was just, you know, embarrassed to rap with my real voice. The first time I ever rapped with my real voice was on the track I did with John Lemon back in 2018, Evil Shit.
Oh, that yeah.
That wasn't even 2018. That was late 2017.
That was, that came out. Yeah, I remember Evil Shit. I do.
Yeah, Evil Shit by Post-War featuring John Lemon. That one was, that was like the first track I ever did with my own voice. And I was like, okay, I've got like the hang of mixing and stuff now. I'm not professional or anything, but this sounds decent enough to release. And over time, I just got like more comfortable with my own voice, because like my voice is not only is it grating as fuck, it's also really hard to mix. Anytime that I'm like mixing and mastering for folks,
yeah,
all my vocals are always the hardest ones to mix. It's terrible because I got like a real bright voice, but it's not like in my head. It's in like my throat. It's like it's around like the a specific frequency that is very, very hard to make sound good.
And
like,
it's not
what
it's still pleasing to the ear, I find, and I still think it's good. It is unique. It's uniquely different, but not in a bad way. It's fucking sick. I think I'm glad you decided to do that shit. That's one thing I noticed too, like over the years, like you just decided to be more open. I can see on this album, and I'm just kind of taking you off track a bit. You seem more relaxed. You seem more relaxed in your pocket. And I find that like your pocket's not even a pocket. It's like everywhere, but it sounds so like the thing about this project, what I like the most is there's so many various sounds and elements and inspiration from other genres, but it still sounds complete.
Yeah.
And one thing I've always liked, my favorite artists I've always liked, is they can make a project really well. And that's what I found with this project. I was really happy about is like everything, no matter like more boof and I'm not okay. Right. Totally two different fucking spectrums, mm-hmm. two different songs. Yeah. But when you put them in the clash of that whole album, for some reason, all of those 12 songs made sense, and they all made sense as one project. So that was, congrats on that.
Dude. I really appreciate that. And that, like, I'm glad that someone understands that. I'm glad that someone understands that I was, and a lot of people have said this to me recently, that like they really fucked with the concept of the album. Mm-hmm. And like the concept definitely was like first half, me going back to my roots. Then I got the Loose Sleep interlude. Loose Sleep is my brother. I love him. Shout out Loose Sleep.
Yeah, shout out Loose Sleep.
Seriously. And then after that, I've got all the singles, which each have a different sound. Mm-hmm. And then I've got Be Careful, which is kind of the climax to it all, you know? Dude. Like it's like the ending to this film, if Pretty Boy was a film. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Recitative 12, which is like the ending credits. That's where, you know, I say at the end, you know, Pretty Boy season, I'm a pro now, leave the bullshit in the past now, so don't come to me for a handout.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
the like your statement. It's like, look at what I did.
Exactly. Exactly. Like I don't want to be put in a box at all, man. Like I can make pop hits. I can make like brazy ass fucking underground hip hop shit, like Squealing Part 1, Part 2. Like I'm very proud of those
Has there ever been a time where you felt like as an artist, as an artist coming up in the game, that you need to like, this has always been you, but has there ever been a time like you ever chased a pop hit or chased a hit in some sense? Because I've had that issue.
Anytime that I've done something that sounds more like pop rap-ish,
yeah,
it's been at the encouragement of other people.
Yeah.
Not Okay was not supposed to ever come out.
Really? Yeah.
No, yeah, because I played it for my manager Neil.
Shout out Neil.
Yeah, shout out Neil. Shout out Link Up Connect. Shout out Tiana. I love you all.
Shout out you guys.
I wasn't even supposed to put that out. I just made it because it was a beat that Ed Riley sent me, and
Riley's stupid, man. He's so stupid. He's so good.
So good. So
I got a beat just chilling too, like, and I just don't know what to do with it.
He's so good.
But
like I did something over that because that was supposed to be an interlude for his album or for a project or something. He just sent it to me because he didn't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I put together like a rough mix, like it's like ooh, and then I played it off of my notes, the rough mix, the day that I was signing my contract with Link Up.
No
and,
way.
Yeah, and like Neil and Tiana both looked at me like.
Yeah. It's
your next single, dude.
Yeah.
Your next single. And after like I put that out and it did better than anything I've ever done before, I was like, oh shit, okay. You mean I can experiment? You mean I can do whatever the fuck I want and people like it? Oh, God bless. And that's where Gone and More Boof and Be Careful and Recitative 12 came from. The whole second half of the album was basically initiated by I'm Not Okay, because I'm Not Okay was like so far out of my wheelhouse at the time.
Yeah, it was like totally just
out, in like,
out of your comfort zone then.
What? Sorry?
Out of your comfort zone then. Maybe you didn't feel as comfortable, but then you grooved into it.
No, not at all. I didn't feel comfortable with it at all.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to put it out, but you know, like they really, really liked it. And Miazwe liked it, and everyone in the Link Up camp was like, oh no, this needs to be your next fucking single.
Yeah, and I'm glad they did that.
I'm glad I did it too, man, because it really opened the doors for me to get, you know, more out of my comfort zone. And that's how Pretty Boy kind of became a thing. It's like beforehand, like who knows what Pretty Boy would have been if I had just stayed within my wheelhouse and didn't experiment.
It's so fucking important, man, to go out there in the studio and just be uncomfortable, just to be like vulnerable, just be like, what am I doing here? And then to figure it out. And then once you figure it out, it's like you hit a fucking gold mine. It's like, holy shit.
Seriously. Compliment I get a lot is versatility. You're versatile.
Yeah.
You're a chameleon. Like all that stuff.
Yeah. And,
you know, that's a good feeling. And I appreciate it a lot. Like, it's dope that I can do a whole bunch of different sounds and they... And like none of them sound like someone who's inexperienced in their field, you know. More Boof is just straight ass synth pop.
It is, and when you sent me that the first time before it even came out, that's what's cool about it, is like I don't know what to expect with you, and it's great. And that's great. It's not a bad thing. It's fucking. It's always you. It's always you. It's not like, oh, this is like always trying something that sounds like. It's always you. So. That's the cool part. And I never know what to expect. That's what like all the big artists out, like the Kendricks, the fucking, these guys are like, oh, what the fuck are they going to do next? And that's a good attribute to have, right?
I feel you.
That's what I'm trying to find right now.
Thank you for comparing me to Kendrick, by the way. I'll definitely take that to the bank.
Well, you know what I mean, right? Like all these artists that like, you're looking for, like the Kanyes, the Kendricks and all these people like that. You're not like, what are they going to do next? Right? And that's what I'm trying to do too, is like, what the fuck am I going to do next to surprise people? And that's something I need to get going on as well.
What do you mean get going on?
I don't know. I'm pretty comfortable rapping on some really smooth beats lately.
Shout out Stressed.
Yeah, shout out to Stressed, man. Because it just gives me so much room. There's so much pocket on those beats.
Seriously.
It gives you so much room to play around. Like those
beats. You know what's funny is that I was humming that song to myself today. Yeah. And like I... finally understood the last line where it's like your ex leaving clothes on the lawn, we throw in fits.
Yeah.
I thought that you were just talking about like, oh, she's throwing a fit.
No.
It's a double entendre. It's like she's throwing my fits out on the lawn.
Yeah.
I was shit ages like fine wine, man. I love that EP.
Dude, and I'm so happy you put it out too, because you were second guessing it. We were sitting there and I was talking to you about, not really, but like you're like, oh, and you did it. And because it was so rap, because that to me was like, everyone, hey, fuck, I can rap my fucking ass off.
Yeah.
And you rapped your ass off.
It was more like a personal exercise. I put it out on SoundCloud so that like people could hear it if they wanted to. But originally, I just wanted it to be a whole different alias. But DistroKid wouldn't allow it.
Yeah. I'm glad it came out the way.
I wanted like all of my boom bap shit, like all of my like classic sounding shit, to be under not Post-War but Peter Sellers.
Where did that come from?
Peter Sellers?
Yeah.
He's an actor from the 60s. He was in How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb by Stanley Kubrick. He also played the original Pink Panther in about
Then I know who he is.
Pink Panther movies, yeah.
Then I know who he is.
He was a big old actor from the 60s. He had a lot of range. Like he has that scene in Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb where he's like, Mein Führer, I can walk. he's always represented like old Hollywood. So
yeah.
I took that name and like misspelled it because his name isn't spelled like Sellers, like
no
basement Sellers, but it made sense to make like classic sounding hip hop under that name. And, anytime I make something like that, I'm just going to, put it under like the Peter Sellers project.
That's cool, man.
By Post-War, but like people will see you know, it'll have like colon the Peter Sellers Project.
That's some student of hip hop shit, man. Because your influences are Madlib and you know, Doom and all these guys, and you have like, the thing is, you have a lot of hip hop influence, and you can't tell right away, but I know you. I know what you listen to. It's kind of sick to hear that type of shit. It's like you have alternate fucking personalities and you got all this shit going on. It's dope. I fuck with it, man.
It's just a coping mechanism, man.
It is, yeah.
Dude, honestly.
The music's therapy, man. The whole studio is a therapeutic session every single time. And you live in a studio. Actually, how is, okay, some advice to me, or it's just actually me just picking your brain. You living in a studio compared to not living in a studio, what's changed? Has it changed a lot for your mental health? What's going on?
Because you know that, like, I don't just live in this one room anymore, right?
No, I rent. You showed me last time.
Yeah. But, like, having a studio space in my house has just not only made me more productive, it's made me more adventurous. Like,
fucking jealous.
You know, like, fucking jealous, like, anytime that, like, I want to make something, it doesn't matter what it is. All I have to do is walk 2 feet over to my studio space and just
right.
Do it.
Yeah.
And not only that, like, you know, sometimes I don't want to work on shit solo just because I'm not motivated at all. But then, you know, on a whim, Truly Blue comes through.
Yep.
And he ends up being my fucking muse. And like, we end up making so much music together. I love collaborating. And I never used to love collaborating before when I lived at my parents' place because it was never personal. Now I can like have people over and like we can talk to each other. We can have drinks. We can smoke. And like we can talk about like what really inspires us. And
exactly.
Yeah. And it's like, anytime that like I have someone over, we get like 3-4 songs done in a night. Just because I try to make my studio space as comforting as possible and like a space where people can, you know, not only record their verses, but also, you know, express themselves both.
You got to live
music and within their music, you know,
exactly.
I've had people come through who do shit like way out of their style just because I told them that they would kill it. Like, you know, I'll bring up a beat and it's like, you would kill this. And they're like, hell yeah, man, let's do it. And that's what I want.
And even if it doesn't get released, it's good to practice. It's good to exercise that.
It is.
You need to exercise.
I think that people get too caught up in like the capitalist, you know, what's the term? Like the capitalist picturesque video of, you know, I come through, I pay $50 for studio sessions. I come,
yeah.
Through, I better rap.
I'm going to make a hit.
Over these songs,
yeah.
And it'll definitely be a hit. And then I'll pay fucking $100 or something to get it mixed and mastered. It's like, to me, music should never be something that you force yourself to do. You know,
money.
Like,
yeah.
If you come through to my studio and you don't feel like, you know, making anything that you ever want released, like, let's just experiment. Let's just work.
Well, look what happened. Look what happened with You Made. I'm Not Okay, right? But since COVID-19, have you just sat down and learned anything about yourself? Because I find that's a huge thing with going on with people right now. People are learning shit about themselves. They're finding new things about themselves they haven't found before.
Oh, definitely. If you want me to get deep for a second.
I would love to. This is where, man, I just love talking to you, man. We talk all the time. Just talk to me. Talk to me, bro.
Bless you, Dre.
Yeah.
Bless you, Andre, the sauce man.
I'm the man. I'm trying to get that Sauce Man album done. I got a cover lined up, man.
God, I'm so excited.
It's trap.
What I've learned about myself since like COVID and just like being forced to not go out in public and like drown my imperfections in socializing and like weed and alcohol and all that shit.
Yeah.
What I've learned about myself is that I'm hella oversensitive. And a lot of people don't want to admit that that's a thing, but being oversensitive is definitely a thing. And to me, like how I'm living, that's a flaw. Like you can't be making art and be oversensitive. You can't like, you know, every time you get a negative comment or every time you hear that someone's talking shit about you, you can't just like huddle up and hate yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm very, it's a terrible combination where it's like I'm oversensitive, but I'm also competitive as fuck.
So, me too, bro. I'm like, yeah. You know me, man. Like, we have talks about this shit. It's like the competitiveness like comes out of me where it comes off egotistical, or it comes off like ego driven, and then the sensitivity part also contributes to the music too, though, right? You gotta say like that oversensitivity.
Oh, definitely. Like squealing off Pretty Boy. Like that was me channeling like my fucking bitterness into a song.
Yeah.
Like I'm a bitter motherfucker. Like I've had a lot of awful shit happen to me, and I came out on the other side, and to still be alive today is a blessing. But also at the same time, there's a lot of bullshit that I have to deal with every day. And as a symptom from that, and I hate this word, as a symptom from that trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
That's your fucking buzzword. But like, yeah. Like a symptom of that trauma is that I'm oversensitive and I'm competitive as fuck, you know? Yeah. So like anytime that I don't get something I feel I deserve, or someone else gets something I feel they don't deserve, it fucks up my whole day, my week.
It could be a nuclear bomb for me too. Like it's so like, I'm with you, man. I feel you on that. Like, I think the one thing, okay, I'm just going to put this out there. I never compare struggles or what's going on in someone else's mind because I don't know. One. Mm. So if I'm ever comparing to with you or anyone else, it's like, oh, I don't know truly, right? Because I'm not you. But I relate to that 100%. It's like fucking, it could, one little thing could just fuck my shit up.
No, definitely. And yeah. you have to like be conscientious of like what your privilege is as far as like your financial situation and your social situation and all that. So it's like I try to keep that in mind. But at the end of the day, you know, when I lay down to take my naps at night, I do definitely think about like all the things that I feel like I did deserve that I didn't get, and vice versa, that other people got that I felt they didn't deserve. And I'm working on that. That was something that really came to light through quarantine and like through quarantine.
And quarantine.
Yeah. Corn emoji teen. but like that, you know, it's given me a lot of time for self-reflection and self-criticism, which is a good thing.
It could be a very good thing, but it also be harmful too. It has to be balanced very well. It has to be like, well, like you said, if you're criticizing yourself too much, it's also harmful.
This is water, by the way. I don't sip lean no more.
This is not water. It's definitely not water.
Sorry, buddy. Keep going.
I put like 2 Mike's Hard in here and I'm almost done. I'm feeling kind of wobbly. Mike's but, it's not, I'm the hardest rapper live, baby. I drink Mike's Hard every day, you know.
Dude, don't even say that shit. You know FPS Dre? His favorite drink is Palm Bay.
Sorry.
I will never feel bad about drinking Palm Bays ever again.
No, you know, though? Yeah, because he can drink Palm Bays.
Facts.
Do you know what, though? Okay, this is totally
off topic. Shout out FPS Dre.
FPS Dre is dope. He knows my cousin from, like, way back. You know what's weird about FPS Dre? Mm. When we were younger, we went on quads together. We didn't even know.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah. We're like in Lorette, Manitoba, and he was with my cousin, and I didn't know that until
you weird like that. You know, DJ Lil Night Vision?
Yep. Yep.
I'm his uncle.
Yeah, and I went to school with him.
I had no idea until like about a year ago when he like sent me a picture of his license. He's like, we have the same last name. He's my half brother's son.
Crazy.
Seriously crazy.
Crazy. That's actually, that's crazy. That's weird. I
didn't interrupt you.
Okay, so where were we? Where were we?
yeah. It's all Gucci. Just ask me something.
We were talking about the sensitivity and when it comes to music.
We were talking about like how I discovered that I'm like oversensitive as fuck. It's something that I definitely feel is aggravated by social media.
Hugely.
Because social media, you know, you're like, especially when you're an insecure person, you're comparing your whole life to everybody's highlight reel.
Yeah. And it really isn't that shit, though.
People are only posting things on their story or on their Instagram or on their Twitter when things are going well. You know, they're not posting when, like, they're just chilling at home, sleeping all day.
Yeah.
Like and that's something that I have a hard time dealing with, especially like in the rap industry. Reflexing is such like a prominent thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, man. I agree with you. I feel like, unfortunately, like social media has become like politicians. Like everyone has to like prove something. It feels like everyone definitely.
And there's like certain like opinions and beliefs they have to abide by or else they will be outcasted.
Yeah, it's bullshit because I wasn't brought up that way. It's like we talk about it. Like if me and you have differences post, we talk about it. We figure that shit out.
Nah, fuck you. If you have a different opinion, I don't like you anymore.
You're right. Fuck that guy. Fuck him. Hey, get him out of here. Yeah. No, but I just feel like me and you could talk in the studio. Like there's no context to social media. That's the problem, right? There's no context. There's no – and there's also everyone's just trying to flex and get those likes and retweets, right?
Oh, definitely. A lot of people will co-opt opinions just because they're trendy.
That's the thing that I'm guilty of when I was younger. I tried making more shit that I didn't feel as much, like bangers and shit like that. And I'd go out there I just feel like some songs I was compromising a little bit, like younger, not even 96 Nostalgia, even before that. 96 Nostalgia to me was like when I started really fucking not giving a fuck.
Still my favorite project by you, by the
Thanks,
way.
Thanks, bro. I'm doing the sequel too soon. But anyways, it's not about me. All I'm saying is...
Okay, you're getting the same producer on it, right?
I'm going to try to. He's in Australia.
Please, man. Like,
yeah, Rod.
Raps and Glow, like, fuck, I still listen to those like every day.
Shout out to Roderick James. Shout out to Roddy.
Punch you in the face and throw your ass down some staircases. I'm a rib flaring it.
Thanks, bro.
So good.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you. I always appreciate when you say that type of shit. Social media is a huge part, like I said. And I think we're adapting very well, but you have to stay, like, it's hard to be the real one on social media too. It's also hard not to like want to flex all the time. Like you got to though. As a rapper, as an artist, you have to promote yourself. You have to be on social media. You have to be on Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't want to be.
People always ask me, it's like, why are you so self-deprecating? And it's like, that's just me. It's like, I ain't going to be self-deprecating on social media because social media to me, it's not like a personal thing. It's a marketing tool.
It is.
Not to say that it's insincere because everything that I post on social media is more or less me.
Like it is totally. Yeah.
It is. But
same here.
I'm not going to post when I'm sleeping in bed for 12 hours sad. Like that's.
Yeah.
A, that's not good marketing, and B, that's giving a bad impression to anyone who's like watching your social media. Like it's just not worth it.
It's also okay to do that too.
I was talking with Miyazue the other day about this, that there is such a thing as oversharing, especially when you're an artist.
Bro, I'm guilty of that.
Really?
Like in conversation.
Okay, yeah. In
on social media.
Well, yeah, but like in person, I would feel like it's a different thing.
Not on social media.
You know, whenever I work with an artist, they're always like talking to me about stuff that, you know, they wouldn't post on social media. But I feel like that's different. Like, at least to me. Once you're like with someone in person, you can understand where they're coming from just through like body language and tone of voice and all that. And if they're an artist who's serious about their craft and their brand, they will understand that it's what they're doing on social media is an image. Just like I understand that.
Yeah. 100%.
No, it's like
working tool.
Every artist that I've ever collaborated with, local or otherwise, like when I talk to them in person, they're nothing like what their social media presence is. And that's fine. That's how it's supposed to be. People see my social media and hear my songs. They expect me to be a fucking asshole. And then they come through and I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, it's fucking Posty. What's good?
I don't see that. But anyways, yeah, but I agree with you. I completely agree with you on that. Completely. Social media is a bitch, man. It is. It's a little bit much. It's a little bit much sometimes. I think it's the worst part of it. I think it's killing. I think it's hard. It's hurting artists a lot more than we think.
Really? How do you mean?
Mentally. Like it's mentally. Well, because I feel like people like me personally, I'm just speaking for myself, obviously, but I don't even give a fuck really. Like if I could just put out music and like Kendrick and put a black screen on my thing and put everything blank and then just put it on and just draw music. I want people to hear my music. Right. But as an artist coming up, you really got to, spread awareness, show people who you are. Like, I'm still trying to show people who I am and be likable and gain fans and cater to my fans and show them I appreciate them as well. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those things where it's like, it's mentally draining, because some days you don't want to be that, you don't want to be that happy go lucky person. Like, my single's coming out. I've had days where my single comes out or my album comes out and I'm like, fuck everything. Like, I got to go on social media and tell everyone that my shit's dropping. I'm happy about it. I'm fucking depressed.
Yeah, like, I got to make a whole ass post and I got to like tell all my homies to comment and like it. And
and I'm happy that I'm so happy about it. No, I'm depressed today. Like, I don't fucking feel like it.
Yeah.
So like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's hard. It's a hard, it's a weird thing. It's a really weird thing. Cause I think everyone has,
like, there's a, I've definitely like trying to, I've been trying to come to grips with, post-war versus call-in.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a, because no matter, you know, no matter who you are, if you're an artist, you're going to be separating the art from the person in your own head. Cause it's
of course,
like,
always in your own head. It's always, it's always mostly in your own head.
Definitely. But definitely. It's like the persona that you are putting out there for the masses is different than who you are as a person. And that's why I love meeting artists in person and like hearing them talk about stuff, like talk about like what their desires are, what their daily lives are like. I love it. It's a really like I like meeting artists and humanizing them. You know, understanding where they come from, where their passion comes from, all that shit.
Exactly. You know,
people look at me as just like the crazy white boy who does whatever the fuck he wants. But like, you know, come talk to me. You know, come to my studio.
It's hard for me to say that about you because I know you.
Yes.
So I can't say that about you. I don't know what I know, but all I know is that you're fucking the nicest dude, right? So it's.
Nah, I'm a bitch. I just like you.
Yeah, thanks, bro. Man, me and you've had so many drunk fucking talks, or like I've been drunk and I just call you and we call each other and talk about fucking life, and that's what I appreciate about you. We could just fucking,
and I love it. I mean, if anything, your like real life persona and your rap persona do coincide a good bit, because you're very personable on your songs and you're very personable in person. Like,
thanks, bro.
When I met you, it was it never felt like, you know, always totally different from his songs.
Yeah. Thank you, man. That's what I try to do. In my head, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because you're always questioning yourself, right? But
oh, definitely.
Like what we're talking about right now, we're just both questioning our, like, oh, what the fuck? You know, like persona, real me, and da-da-da. It's like a lot of identity. And it's a lot of identity crisis shit that I think at some point every artist goes through. I feel like a lot of artists go through that. Like,
oh, definitely.
It has to be a thing.
It's like I've met artists in Winnipeg who are like local legends, and you meet them and they're just like, they're like, oh yeah, dude, I have a full-time job. I wash my fucking clothes at my mom's house.
Yeah.
You know? But like, you see their art and it's like, wow, they're so far above me. And then you meet them and it's like, they're just a person. They're no more above or below.
You know what's the worst, though? The worst, and I'm not going to name any names ever, is the worst when they put that persona on and they act like they're better than you. But that doesn't happen often. It happens, like, rarely, and it's annoying, but it's nice. It's actually refreshing, too, as well. Like, it's also like, oh, it's refreshing to know that you fucking go through this nearly the same struggle as I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people look down on you. It's like, what the fuck are you looking down on me for, bro? Like,
there are people who definitely like live their personas.
Yeah.
And a lot of it comes from struggle, I feel. You know, a lot of it comes from, you know, people not believing in them. So once they've like done well for themselves, they feel the need to like keep that persona up all the time.
Benny,
it sucks. Because
I get it, though. I
wonder whether or not that's their real self. But at the same time, you have to commend them for, you know.
I get that,
pushing past all the negativity and doing well for themselves, despite what anyone says.
And I get that because I was watching Joe Budden podcast the other day with Benny the Butcher. And Benny the Butcher is sitting there. He's like, hey, they're like, oh, this guy's an asshole. He's like, no, man, he's just a product of the game. And the game has really fucked him up. So he's acting that way. Out of trauma, or like the word trauma.
Let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the fucking game, man. God damn.
The game's fucked up, man. The game's fucked up. The game is officially fucked up.
When did you first start like actually taking shit seriously?
In music?
Yeah.
Man,
always Andre Jensen. You ain't have like a name change or any of that. Cause you were,
dude,
fucking True Blue were like out here booling in like 2015, 2016.
Yeah, man. I think, out of insecurity, I went around school and I was telling people I rapped, but I was joking a lot. Like I used to make joke raps, like fucking diss people and fuck around. Cause it was, I was insecure about it internally. So like, if I joked about it, it was like, oh, they're not taking it seriously. Like, I'm just kind of like, you know. And that was a mistake. And then I started releasing songs. And, you know, I was with Nathan in the studio all the time. And then I think when...
Wait, you and Nathan are like homies?
We played basketball in high school together, bro.
Shit, really?
Yeah. Like, we're friends for that long time, man.
Shout out Nathan.
Yeah, shout out Nathan. Yeah. So
that dude is so fucking talented. I remember the first time I heard Ghost Rider.
Crazy.
I was like, whoo!
Funny story about that beat, man. We were sitting there with that... We were sitting there in the studio together when he was showing me...
Jealous. I would love to see him make a beat.
He didn't make... We were sitting there and Ghost Rider came on and I was like, dude, why don't you flip that? And we were just talking about like distorting the guitars and doing something weird too, because it was not that beat at all. It turned to like steroids. Like it was like the beat was so fucking pounding. It was just fucking stupid sounding.
Yeah.
It was sounding great. And
Nathan, shout out Nathan's again.
You know, my best friends, man. He's so patient.
Like that dude... He goes brazy with everything he does. He's so talented, not only with rap, but with everything. He's so like musically inclined.
I agree, man. He's became one of my best friends over the years. Definitely believed me from the start. He's really a good person.
I'm trying to work with him, but he's never available.
He works a lot, man. I'm trying to get with him and like, I can't get with him. You know what I mean? Like, so like,
not
I get
everybody's
that.
A broke bitch like me. So,
hey man, I'm fucking that.
Keep going.
But yeah, man, we started off, doing that. We did a couple songs together because he pushed me to do it. He did push me to do it. And then I remember doing late nights and I was with Cole and Copaz and we're working on promo together like a long time ago. Shout out Loading Magazine. We were doing shit from like, I knew him from high school too. Great, great guy. And that blew up and that was my first song that ever hit well. And then after that, I moved on. I was trying to chase that again. And then I just, I think it was more so, I think not, when I started really taking it seriously, man, I don't know. I think I took it very seriously from the start. But once people started saying like, yo, man, that was dope. Yo, that song was great. And they pay attention to the bars. I was like, I really am here for the people, man. I don't make music for anyone else. But you need to have a good balance.
Yeah, it's hard to like balance like making music for yourself versus making music for the public. And yeah. I'm glad that I've been able to like find that balance.
I'm finding it right now, bro. It's awesome.
I'm excited, man. You said that the new album is dropping this fall, correct?
It's going to be this fall. Hopefully, man, I got six tracks lined up right now. Mm. A lot of collabs. Cause I'm doing kind of like, I'm just like open to collabs at the moment. And man, I want you on it. So let's work on some.
Oh yeah, of course.
Let's work on some. I think we'll talk this off air, but I think, you know, collab joint one of these days would be great. Anyways, I got this thing that I designed. It's called the Quick Six. I'm gonna ask you six questions.
Oh, do it.
You answer them really quick, and you get to go.
Oh, dude, I'm on another level. My mentality is on another level.
But you could actually go into detail if you want, because we're just talking. Pac or Biggie?
Biggie, clearly, he made way better songs than
think
Tupac.
So.
Like Tupac, Tupac has like two classic albums out of like 10 or 12 that he made. Biggie made two albums while. And I'm counting Ready to Die and Life After Death as like the two albums he did. Because Born Again sucks my ass. Born Again sucks.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
That's posthumous. Like that.
Was it the Eminem one? Which one was the Eminem one? Well, that was the Pac one. Pac had Eminem. Yeah. I disagree.
It was on Born Again, yeah.
I think Pac just embodied what hip-hop is, man. He was everything. He was like fucking gangster. He was respectful. He was weird.
Of course, He's a legend. Both of them are a legend, but Biggie made better albums. Ready to Die is one of my favorite albums of all time, and Life After Death is, you know, it's got Hypnotize, it's got Kick in the Door, it's got
Listen, you might be right, Posty.
It's got so many classics on it.
You might be right, but I'm not going to admit it.
I'm a shallow motherfucker. I appreciate good songs over actual lyricism. Not to say Biggie didn't have lyricism, but he made like albums.
No,
like,
I agree with you.
Where every song was a fucking banger.
I agree with you on that. Okay, metal or pop?
What?
Metal or pop?
I'd say metal, just because that's my roots. You know, I came from.
Can you give me your favorite metal band right now?
What?
Metal. Favorite metal band?
Favorite metal band, Raising the Ruins out of Medicine Hat.
Wow, okay. Well, link me. I want you to link me a bunch of your musical shit after this. Anyways.
Oh, of course. I'll link you Raising the Ruins Bandcamp. They're amazing.
Morning or night?
Morning? Fucking night, definitely. Damn. I ain't even awake in the morning.
Do you know what, man? I'm a morning person lately.
God, I wish.
Weird. Anyways, edibles or psychedelics?
Edibles, definitely. I can't handle psychedelics just because I'd be on medication and shit, and like I'm not trying to fuck up my mentality like permanently.
It is definitely something I'm gonna go psychedelics for sure.
Like anyone who actually has their shit in check,
I don't.
For psychedelics, I'm just a. Not, man.
I'm not okay. Just joking. No. But no, I agree. I think that's smart. That's really smart of you. Tropical or mountains?
Definitely mountains.
Me too, man. Mountains. Fuck.
I love mountains just because if you're on a tropical island, it's dope, but you're only going to get like that specific viewpoint. Like you're not going to be like ascending to like really big heights that
you. Dude, I did a hike. Have you ever done a hike before?
What?
Have you hiked before in the mountains?
Yeah, I just got back from vacation about out in Wasa Gaming, Manitoba.
Nice.
And we went on a hike, and like there were mountains, there were trails, we saw a bear.
Fuck that.
No, we were all shitting ourselves.
Fuck those bears.
But it was like I really love hiking. Hiking is my big thing. I understand the appeal of just like lying on a beach and sipping margaritas all day long, but
I don't get it.
Hiking, it gives you an experience that you can't replicate.
Cause I feel like the higher you get, the more grounded you feel. It's weird. You feel like so alive, man. And I think the heat's too much
Definitely.
Man.
Like you,
my
like,
skin burns, man.
Like the higher you ascend, like when you're out here hiking or whatever, it's hard to describe, but
yeah,
you really like take in like the peacefulness of it.
I agree with you, man. Okay, last one. If you could be any animal, what would you be?
Definitely a shark.
A shark? Holy fuck! 100% a shark. Not peaceful at all, Posty.
No, definitely not. But like, I could be the alpha male. What?
You'd be a shark. I don't know why it's funny to me. That's fucking crazy.
Can you imagine though? If I was a shark, no one would fuck with me.
No one would fuck with you. It's a pretty good strategy. Right. You would just fuck anything up in your path.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like keep in mind, I'm scared as hell of the sea. Like I hate.
Me too.
Open water. Like I could never like go deep sea diving or whatever.
Mm.
So if I was to be a sea creature, I would want to be the one that's the most dangerous and the most scary.
Yeah, because you can't fuck with me. I may be scared of this environment, but you guys will not touch me. I could just be scared, chilling.
Exactly.
I think, what would I don't know what I'd be. I would be a fucking falcon or something where I could fly everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
But you don't they die really early? Like don't those falcons just get hit by shit really quick? And
falcons, yeah, they don't have like a long lifespan, but no animals do. Like humans are the only animals that live for like multiple decades.
What about a tortoise? Like a tortoise would be boring though. Like if I was a tortoise.
Oh yeah, fucking tortoises live to be like 200 or something.
What's another thing that lives a long time?
Trees.
Trees, maybe. I would be. That's not an animal.
You trying to be a tree?
I'll be a tree, bro.
I'll be a tree.
I'd be the only
be a tree.
I'd be the only tree to talk shit to everyone passing.
Hey, yo, what that ass do?
Is that tree just fucking Did you really say that?
This tree, I'm really suspicious of this tree, man. There's something wrong with this tree.
Yo, get you a new man's. He's wearing Crocs, bitch. Little bitch. The tree's just yelling at people.
Yeah,
facts. They would. You know what they do? They sawed me down. If I was a tree, they would saw me down. They'd cut me down because I spoke the truth.
Exactly. They don't want no trees speaking the truth.
I'd be committed for treason. Anyways. I can't do this podcast shit, man. I can't. Anyways, man,
you're killing it so far.
Thanks, bro, man. I think I want to start doing this more with, because I've developed such a relationship with you guys, and it's only suiting that I have you on as the first episode of this shit. I think we need to do this. Anyways, man, I will talk to you after this podcast for probably a little bit, but
absolutely, man.
Do your shout outs, plug your shit right now.
Hey, yo, shout out Ziggy Duncan, Drink Bleach, Lose Sleep, Dag, Tonzo, fucking Diamond, Stumbles, Haves, everyone in Easy Click, everyone in Link Up, Neil, Miazwe, Mooks, Travis T, Max Wins, Peso, yep. 204, all the motherfuckers in Lost Souls, and shout out Captain Dolo. One of my day ones. I love me some Captain Dolo content.
He's dope, man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here, Post. I appreciate it always. Congrats on the album. Make sure you guys all stream Pretty Boy on every single platform. Bandcamp. I don't give a fuck. Everything. Have a good one, bro.
God bless.
Peace.